help. She may as well throw it on Hellfire in this case. I was being a bit slow on the uptake. There's a chance of gaining control over the elementals. Ants in the Panza is checking it out. All right, try using the scrolls that I sent you. Man! Ants in the Panza's baffled shout interrupted Anastaria's. Come with me. I will be your guide, Great One. There will be a ton of penalties, but you have to see this. What do I do? Sit next to me, give me your hand, and close your eyes. Open them when I tell you. Nothing else. Let's go.
I'll cover you.
Slate flew up to me from the heat of battle. Wow, how the heck did I forget about you? If we fail, I can forget about my attractiveness with the princess for sure.
No enemy shall get through over my dead body.
Sitting next to the girl and hoping that the only remaining tank, Hellfire, would be able to hold out long enough, I touched the girl's hand and closed my eyes. The noise of the battle and shouts of the players died away, as if a dome had been placed over me, and I heard Ants in the Pants' voice. You can open them now. We're here. There was the familiar gray mist of the astral plane, into which I was pulled from the Guardian's Glade, and I saw eight elementals hanging in the air. In contrast to reality, in the astral plane, the elementals had eyes, which were now looking at us with pleading gazes. The brothers of our spirits were surrounded by strange entities circling around them, which looked very similar to dark phantoms from old horror movies, or to those that flew out of the hands of Midial and Guernica. Several phantoms, probably the controllers, floated around the heads of the elementals, while others circled each body, moving them in different directions. Several more phantoms maintained domes that surrounded each elemental. So that's where the active defense of those mobs had come from.
We cannot help you.
The thundering voices of the high spirits of both worlds sounded behind us.
We can only destroy them together with our brothers, so you're on your own. All we can do is to cut the penalty for remaining in our world by half. Act quickly. Time is running out.
My spirits can't do any harm to these phantoms.
Ants in the Pants' words stunned me.
I thought that perhaps you'd think of something, so I brought you here. If we manage to get rid of this darkness, the elementals will be set free, and we will be able to stop them. Man, hurry! There's only 15 of us left!
I selected one phantom so I could examine its properties and understand what we were dealing with, but found them blocked. It turned out that you weren't allowed to look at the properties of these shady pieces of scum. Then it was like someone flicked a switch in my head. Beadwick and the Sklick. There was only one instance when a mob's properties wouldn't show, when you were meant to discover what you were up against. A quest for a shaman.
Man, time! Do something!
Now Ants in the Panza was telling me to hurry. Strange. Why does this girl think that I can do something with these beasts? It's not like the spirits can even touch them.
Draco, I urgently need your help.
Coming!
To make sure of the Lady Shaman's words, I selected one phantom and tried summoning a spirit on it. It was only a level one. There was no way I could miss, but incomprehensibly the spirit ricocheted and hit me instead.
What is that, brother?
My totem appeared next to me, staring in surprise at the phantom circling around the elemental.
They seem familiar, but I just can't remember. What do I do?
Try burning them.
I can't,
said Draco, not even trying to attack.
I can't target this. What is the correct name for them? It's at the tip of my tongue,
but I just can't find the right word. If I simply unleash my flame at them, I'll burn the warrior too. They are good, so I can't. If only these shadowy things were real, but I don't know how to embody them.
Embody? Draco is a genius. Ants in the Panta, time to activate change of essence. We have to change the phantoms. We'll be able to destroy them after that.
I'm on it, the lady shaman replied, without even asking why I suddenly came to this decision.
We'll start with the closest fire one. I'm on the left. Bussy, destroy them when you're able.
In addition, the girl summoned her panther and started to change the essence of the phantoms.
I thank you, brothers,
thundered the elemental a few seconds later, engulfing us in a wave of hot air. Draco and Bussy acted quickly and made a good team. Changing the essence of a phantom turned out to be quite easy. All you had to do was imagine it becoming very solid, and then one of our totems would proceed to wipe it out.
If it wasn't for you, we would still have to...
Stop destroying the free citizens and help us with the fallen mages,
I shouted, interrupting the flaming pillar's thank you speech.
Stacy, one of the flaming ones is on our side. Don't hit him. We're working on the rest.
I accept your conditions, elder brothers, and my brothers will follow me once you free them.
Some sort of a greenish aura formed around the elemental in the astral plane, and he froze. Let's hope he switched to destroying the mages instead of my raid.
Natalie, it's working! Let's keep at it! A water one is next! +100 to reputation with the supreme spirits of the higher and lower worlds. Current level, neutral. You are 890 points away from the status of friendly.
As soon as we finished with the last elemental, both Ants in the Panta and I were kicked out of the astral plane. Seems we overstayed our welcome. I glanced forlornly at the list of the week-long debuffs. -1 rank of the summoned spirit. The totem summoning time had been reduced to 1 hour a day, and the strength of the summoned spirits had been reduced by 20%. And this was barely even half the penalties. In this case, the Supreme Ones have really gone into overdrive. Increasing my reputation with them looks to be virtually impossible.
That's it. We're done.
Anastaria sunk to the ground in relief when the last mage was destroyed and the elementals had frozen like statues. Only the crackling of the fire, the noise of wind and water, and the rumbling of the rocking earth indicated that the 8 mobs were still alive and ready to spring into action.
Barsa, here, take these resurrection scrolls. Get Ekeler, Etamzalat, and do not panic up. I have no mana, and I will only be able to use a potion in 3 minutes. Guys, up we get. The lieutenant is 300 meters away. Man, will the elementals help us?
Yes, brother. We will grant you our aid in this battle and then return to our world.
The voice of one of the pillars sounded in my head, so I immediately told the good news to Anastaria and looked at what was left of the raid. 17 out of 63. Some weird lottery was happening here. The survivors included Klutzer, Eric, Leidy, Barsina, Ants in the Panta, and me. Essentially, we could rule out 6 of our people in the fight with a 400-level lieutenant, which wouldn't be good. The 20 plus 350 mages that we downed resulted in 6 new levels for me, plus 15 levels to my officers, +4 to Barsina, and +2 to Ants in the Panta. As for the rest, I couldn't remember their initial levels, so I couldn't tell if they gained anything. For instance, Anastaria's definitely didn't go up, remaining at 331. And as for Hellfire, our highest level player on the continent, he couldn't get past the 340 threshold.
"I am proud to have the honor of fighting with such warriors."
Slate started to walk up to each player and shake their hand. Interestingly, as soon as the blacksmith stepped away from them, the face of each player became a picture of surprise, and then his eyes shot in my direction. What now?
I am proud.
When my turn came to shake the hand of the future prince, it all became clear. We'd all got a Gratitude of the Imperial Family buff, increasing our stats by 20% and doubling the speed of energy, mana, and hit point regeneration. That's it. Now there'd be no escaping questions on what a member of the Imperial Family was doing in these woods.
Plus 50 to reputation with the Malabar Emperor. Current level, respect. You are 3,800 points away from the status of esteem.
You are interesting toys.
The lieutenant's voice flooded through the dark forest, slapping us all with a long list of short-term debuffs.
It would be a pity to destroy you straight away, but such is my master's will. Die!
Barca, me and Leander, 20 paces away from Hellfire.
Anastaria immediately took charge, sorting out all the remaining healers.
Itamzalad is backing up Hell. Ants, put strengthening and restoration on everyone. Right now. It's important. Leander, on cooldown, bring back up 2 more healers. 3 of us may not be enough. Small fries, to the back with you. Mobs aren't like the boss. Things are gonna get really hot.
All the nearby trees had been thoroughly destroyed during the battle with the mages, so now our group was standing on the edge of an improvised 50-meter clearing. After 3 or 4 fitful breaths, there are no heartbeats in Barleona, the trees on the opposite side flew apart, bringing the lieutenant into view. Unlike in Plinto's first video, where he was covered by mist, now we could see this boss and his appearance in all its glory. He was a 3-meter-tall biped, his race indeterminable because he was formed of a combination of human, white-skinned vampire, and green orc, a Frankenstein of the dark forest.
"That's one ugly bastard," Antsinapansa, who was standing next to me, couldn't help saying.
"Are all dungeon bosses like this, or did we just get lucky? Save the chit-chat for later. The fight will have 4 phases."
Anastaria immediately shouted after evaluating the boss's properties.
"First, Hell, you take him and turn him away from the raid. Everyone stand on the sides, including the small fries, or you'll get iced. On my command, we all run to Hell. Itam, you stay at the back and catch the cleave attack. You must reduce the incoming damage from each cleave. It'll hit hard. Killer, your guys join only at my command. Don, hit him, but very carefully. I suspect that he will return part of the damage in close combat. Don't get yourselves killed that way. The second phase is the other way around. We all stand next to Hell and then run in different directions on my command. Itam, you're at the back as before. As for the third, its description is too hazy, so we'll split into 4 groups. Tanks, heals, melee, and ranged damage fighters. Stand around the boss and carefully listen for my commands. The 4th phase is closed. We'll have to improvise. Ready? 30 seconds to start of the fight. 27. 24. Ants, 1 more amplification on the tanks. 20. Mayan, as soon as the boss goes for us, send in the elementals. They should slow him down. If things work out, they can then step back until the 2nd phase. 10. Leander, don't forget to get the healers back as soon as the res cooldown allows you. 5. If we survive, I owe you all a cookie. Damn, talking like Mayan now. 1. Go, go, go!
You will all die,
growled the lieutenant, hitting us with a wave of debuffs and rushing towards us.
"Urgada! Urhand!"
Hellfire shouted something incomprehensible, sent an axe flying into the approaching boss, and instantly rolled sideways.
"Brothers, attack!"
I commanded the elementals, hurrying after Anastaria.
"Killer, start! Hell is holding it! Don, go at it! Itam, stand right behind! Hunker down already!"
To hunker down, to deploy a damage-reducing ability.
"You cannot win! You are weak!"
shouted the lieutenant a couple of minutes into the fight. So far, things couldn't be going better. Hellfire was holding off the boss very skillfully, preventing him from doing anything nasty. From the very start of the fight, the boss didn't use anything other than simple blows, which our tank easily blocked, so everyone, including Anastaria, were fine-tuning the order in which combat abilities were being used, something players called rotation. The aim is to inflict maximum damage per unit of time. If you crossed a certain average threshold, well done. If not, you're not ready to become a raider just yet. Due to the level difference, 8 out of 10 of the spirits I summoned missed, but thanks to the elementals, the boss's hit points began to diminish at a nice and steady rate. I even had a flashing thought that the Mushu dungeon was much more interesting in terms of fight mechanics, but then the boss's health sagged below 90%.
"Beware! All run to Hellfire!"
Anastaria immediately shouted.
"Mayan, take the elementals to the edge of the clearing."
I sped after the girl, but then felt like I'd hit an invisible wall. A foreboding. Stacy was wrong. We mustn't gather. At all. The boss lifted up his arms and started to say some sort of an incantation. All attempts to interrupt him ended in failure. The spell was going to be cast no matter what. He was a priest, after all, even if he's been sewn together from different pieces. He was about to let rip.
"Mayan, hurry!"
My deputy hurried me, but by then I already understood what had to be done. We had to get as far as possible away from the boss as quickly as we could.
"Everyone to the edge of the clearing, now! Tanks, too!"
Leading by example, I ordered the elementals to move away fast and sped to the farthest side of the clearing.
"Hear that?"
Anastaria needed less than a second to make a decision.
"After Mayan, quick! Hell, Itam, you too!"
"Itam, stay!"
"Do not panic," immediately shouted.
"Take Hellfire's place. Stacy, the lightning strike must hit the tank and be distributed among the closest players. Even a beginner raider knows that. If the strike goes into the ground, there'll be no survivors."
"Don't stop!"
Unwavering, Anastaria continued to run after me.
"Everyone, to the edge of the clearing! Itam, do not panic! As the deputy raid leader, I order you to get away from the boss! 5 seconds until hit!"
"Itam, hold!"
shouted Do Not Panic, running up to the leader of the heirs of the Titans, who took position in front of the boss.
"Stacy, now's not the time to be pulling rank! This strike has to be caught! Come back!"
The girl spent a moment drilling me with a stare, and then commanded,
"Leander, a dome!"
-40 damage.
"Mayan, I really hope that you're not..."
"Rasturma Perlanta Kes!"
The lieutenant's shout shook the ground as he completed the spell, and dark entities started to fly from his hands. The ground around the boss blackened as if all life had drained out of it. The two players standing in front of Frankenstein of the Fallen, they disappeared in a flash, while the boss's hit points rose back up to 98%.
"Morons!"
came Anastaria's half-whisper as she began to get the raid's health back up. The Lieutenant's bell sent Klutzer and Leidy for respawn. Eric and I survived thanks to improved damage blocking, and the rest of the raid lost about 20% of their hit points. If it weren't for the dome and the fact that we'd put good distance between us and the boss, then again, we still had a total of 16 fighters against just one lonesome boss. He'd be biting the dust in no time.
"Man, the Dark Phantoms are moving in our direction," came Ants in the Pants' shout. "Activate Change of Essence. We have to stop them."
"Arrows fly right through them without causing them any harm," came the voice of Exodus, a Phoenix Hunter, one of our last long-range fighters.
"Try it on the closest one," replied Ants in the Pantsa. "He's already been changed. Man, I won't manage on my own." "Don't let this shit get any closer. Hell, take the boss. Man, are the elementals still with us? If yes, send them at the boss. We fight on, no slacking. Eric, we have no choice. Stand behind the boss and catch those cleave attacks. Leander, on every second cleave, throw teeth,"
an ability not permitting you to die for 10 seconds,
"on Eric. The cleave comes once a minute. I will cover him with the bubble between the teeth. We should be able to hold out. Go!"
50 strange, dark phantoms got embodied by Ants in the Pantsa and me in less than a minute, and it took Eckler and Exodus only one shot at each to rid us of this plague. But Eric, my elementals were giving the boss a good kicking, but every minute the lieutenant made a double strike. Hellfire took the main hit, and the tank that stood behind the boss caught the returning movement. Eric didn't get into position fast enough, so the cleave went nowhere. And this nowhere cost the raid 40% hit points for each player, including Hellfire. If not for the experience of the Phoenix leaders, who've been through many dozens of such fights, we would all have been wiped. This is why my officer, teeth clenched and covering himself with the shield he got in Dolma, took position and started catching the lieutenant's cleave attacks. The only thing that Eric permitted himself was a low grunt during the hit, because with standing being almost destroyed by a hundredth of a second, tanking isn't an easy job for a prisoner, if you think about it.
"Beware! Everyone, to the opposite side of the clearing!" commanded Anastaria, as soon as the boss's hit points went below 90% for the second time. "Leander, shield on my command! Eric, hunker down!
Use a damage-reducing ability.
When he blows! Ants, strengthening on Eric and Man. They must survive this! Man, why are your elementals still hitting the boss? Move them! Leander, if the boss's hit points don't go up after the blast, get Illenium up."
"No!"
I intervened midway through Stacy's commands.
"We need a tank. Eric won't be able to take it." "Nothing will happen to your Eric. Any tank can catch the cleave hit with the teeth and the bubble. His level has nothing to do with it. It's just that he's lower than anyone else in levels and is totally useless in battle. I know it's painful, but everyone else is busy and losing a fighter just to make it a bit easier on Eric. Anyway, later, when we get Itamzalat back, we'll replace Eric. For now, he can stay and level up his endurance. That's useful for a tank."
"All right," I agreed with the girl. "You have more experience with these things."
"Attention, everyone!" shouted Anastaria,
as soon as we survived the second blast and destroyed the Dark Phantoms.
"Stop doing any damage to the boss. Priests, resurrect on cooldown. The priority? First the tanks, Itamzalat and Undigit. Then healers. Plinto!"
I intervened.
"Stacy, we really need Plinto. Get him up right after Itamzalat. We won't manage without him next."
If anyone could have explained to me why I butted in, I would have given him half my gold. An additional tank or a healer would have come in very useful right then. But no. Instead of resurrecting a healer, as logic would dictate, here I am, demanding the rogue be brought back. Yes, he might be able to deal the highest damage to the boss, but if there is no one around to heal, hitting the boss would be of little use. Right enough. Logic can go hang. Intuition rules the day today, and mine's saying that Plinto's presence is vitally important.
Priests, did you hear our leader? Leander gets a Tamsalat, and Illenium heads out to get Plinto back. He's lying 200 meters away from here. Move it! Now!
We survived 2 more blasts at 80% and 70% of the boss's hit points, managing to get 6 players back up between attacks. The embarrassed, do not panic, after dropping a quick, sorry, was helping to support a Tamsalat and Hellfire, redirecting some of the damage to himself. At a certain point, we started getting such a crazy amount of damage that Leander had to put a dome up to reduce the amount that was hitting us. Good job, priest. He didn't need to wait for any orders for this. The only real snag was that nobody but the priests were able to return players from the Greylands. Leander and Illenium were doing the work of 5 people, but their rezzing ability couldn't recharge faster than the programmed game cooldown mechanic allowed, 5 minutes per player during combat.
"You decided to oppose me?"
the lieutenant finally uttered, giving us yet another extended collection of debuffs.
"Admirable. Then, let's play."
"Everyone run to Hellfire!"
Anastaria immediately reacted.
"The shockwave described in the properties of the second phase will mean that the entire raid will be taking a lot of damage. There is only 1 safe place, right in front of the boss. What do you say, man?"
"Let's run, and then I'll see," I agreed. But after taking a couple of paces towards the tank, I stopped. We shouldn't run together, nor should we stand in one place.
"What?"
Anastaria halted, without ceasing to heal Hellfire and land an occasional kick on the boss. The latter only had 61% health remaining, and, if my gut feeling wasn't fooling me, something unpleasant was about to happen.
"There will be no raid-wide damage, so there's no need for us to run together," the girl answered her own question. "We need to decide what to do next. Look, areas with red mist have appeared at the center of the clearing. They look a lot like portals. Any idea what to do with them?"
2 medium-sized, off-red balls of mist were hanging about 1 meter from the ground at the very center of our man-made clearing and were flashing invitingly, as if telling us to step inside.
"Plinto and Barsa!"
I decided to go with my gut feeling and improvise. The resurrected rogue was about to come in handy.
"There are 2 red mist balls in the center of the clearing. Get inside them, fast!" "The balls need to be activated," quickly added Anastaria. "You have to do something inside them, depending on what you find there. Go!"
Like experienced soldiers used to following orders, my clan members stepped away from the boss and ran to the center of the clearing. As soon as they activated the portal and disappeared into the unknown, the boss's hit points dropped to 60%, and the red spheres vanished.
"Beware! Everyone to Hellfire!" came Anastaria's command, but once again I had to interrupt her. "Everyone, get away from the boss to the other edge of the glade. Stacy, try to think what this may be, but we have to get as far away from the boss as we can. Something tells me that this isn't a new ability, but an extension of that blast with the mobs that we've already had. What can it be?
We're inside. There's a labyrinth here, and there's constant magical damage, like from radiation. Good thing you sent Barsina, too. It hits quite hard.
A message from Plinto appeared in the raid chat.
On the move, now.
Leander, the dome!
Shouted Stacy, as the boss had nearly finished his spell, and then her eyes widened in terror. It lasted just for a split second, but I caught sight of it because I was looking directly at her.
Everyone, look under your feet!
Came another order from the girl.
Barely visible zones will appear under you. You will have 1 second to step out of them. Make sure you watch your step. You cannot move to an already formed zone. Man and ants, don't forget to keep an eye on the phantoms as you move around. There they are. Embody them. Killer and Exodus, they're yours. Run!
Then all hell broke loose. The boss froze on one side of the clearing, his arms lifted up, and a wave of damage from the blast went through the raid. The dark phantoms sped in our direction, and a few moments before the explosion, purple puddles began to form under our feet, a new one every 3 seconds. The puddles were about a meter in diameter, so a good many of us had to leave the dome before the spell hit to avoid dying. They really shouldn't have. The explosion from the boss sent 3 players for respawn, increasing the lieutenant's hit points to 65%.
Brother, stop this nightmare!
A message from an elemental appeared before my eyes.
One of us has been sent to the Greylands. Help us!
That's the last thing I need. The elementals starting to die.
Oh, I'm at the center of the labyrinth. Got there with my speed boost.
Plinto again.
I'm seeing a weird sort of creature oozing purple drops of some kind.
Destroy it!
Anastaria's reaction was instantaneous.
This is the source of all our troubles.
On it!
A few moments later, the glade cleared of purple puddles. The boss lowered his arms and headed for Hellfire.
Right. We've survived this ability, but we had 3 fighters fewer now. And this was with the boss at just 60%, and only in the second phase.
The red spheres appeared again at 61% of the boss's hit points when we regained 4 of our players. 30 players against 1 boss. Now this was more like it.
Beware. Plinto and Barsa, you know what to do,
Anastaria quickly responded.
Everyone, stand outside the dome and run together just before the blast. We mustn't allow the puddles to form inside it. Watch out for the phantoms. Let's go. That's it. We've reached another milestone,
reported Stacy with an almost manic glee in her voice as the boss's health went below 60%. We survived the second wave of the nightmare without a single death and without allowing the lieutenant to heal himself.
There are 2 more phases ahead of us. One is a random, which comes last, and the next, you can look it up in the properties for yourself, will require several groups. We need to get the remaining players up quicker. Stop! The red spheres again! The boss is still only at 58%. The portals! Get ready!
As experience had shown, the trigger for the second phase ability did not depend on the number of Frankenstein's hit points, but on time. The red portals appeared every 2 minutes, taking Plinto, Barsina, Ants in the Pansa, Exodus, Killer, and myself completely out of action. 2 were running around the labyrinth, and 4 were dealing with the phantoms, which barely ceased to appear before a new wave hit us.
42%, came the voice of my deputy. We're about to be hit with another ability. Beware.
What the heck?
shouted Illinium, almost at the same time as the system announcement came.
"Resurrection isn't working."
"Maybe it hasn't recharged yet?" I asked, staring at the deserter in incomprehension. "What do you mean, it's not working?"
"Same here," added Leander. "We'll have to finish him off as we are."
"Plindo, Barca, off you go,"
commanded Anastaria, as if nothing had happened. "There's no sense in holding off the damage anymore. Hit him with all you've got." Damn it. As soon as my fighters disappeared into the red portal, three more appeared nearby. But these were blue. And what were we supposed to do with them?
20 seconds until he finishes casting the spell,
Stacy informed everyone in a calm and somewhat resigned voice.
Man, what do we do? Stay put and dodge the puddles or jump into the portals?
Stacy, I have no idea, I muttered at a loss.
Me neither,
smiled the girl. But someone has to make the decision and be held responsible for its consequences.
10 seconds.
Everyone, into the portals. Do not panic. You stay here.
I had no idea why I issued that last order, but felt it was the right thing to do.
Hear that? Let's go.
I just managed to glimpse the surprised face of the Death Knight, who froze in his tracks, after which the blue of the portal surrounded my character. Not knowing what to expect, I closed my eyes and braced myself. But when I finally had the courage to open them and see where we'd ended up, I had to make an effort to prevent my jaw from hitting the floor. We came out into the same clearing where we'd just been fighting the boss, but now everything around us seemed faded and unnatural. Even the air itself was saturated with a subtle feeling of grayness and emptiness.
"The inverse," said Anastaria in a high whisper. "Now I get it. Don, we'll be seeing ya. It's the inverse."
"Farewell, brother,"
a message from the elementals appeared before my eyes.
"It is a pity that we did not see this fallen one destroyed." "I'm the first..."
By the looks of it, Do Not Punic wanted to write what he was first of, but didn't quite make it. Both he and the elementals vanished from the clearing as if they were never there.
"Spread out and maintain a distance. Step out of the puddles."
It seems that Anastaria never loses her nerve.
"On my command, we run together. Leander, put up a dome, same as before. Man, who's next?"
"Next?"
"This is the inverse of reality. Each of the three portals is for a particular type of player. One for tanks, one for healers, and one for fighters. We can't make a mistake here, otherwise it's instant death when the boss completes the cast. Here come the phantoms. Embody them. Usually it takes several deaths to discover which portal is meant for each player type, but there's an exception. If you leave, Exodus, stop bashing the boss and hit those shadows. Anyway, if you leave at least one player outside the inverse, only he will die, irrespective of whether the others entered the right portal or not. I have no wish for any of us to die to figure out the portal's designation, so we have to pick the next victim. I propose Eric."
"Eric?"
"You can stop looking at me like that. Everyone will be sacrificed, even you, if it gets us through. 40% of 30 people is really a lot, added to the fact that we are guaranteed to lose one person every 2 minutes. And then there's the fourth phase, whose properties are still completely hidden."
"And the previous three were just an open book." I couldn't resist some sarcasm. "Brast from Phoenix will be next. Eric stays until the very end, and try not to let him die."
"Brast, you heard the order?"
The girl turned to one of the warriors.
Don't lose any time. Run straight to the boss and try to inflict at least a little damage on him.
Done. Will you throw a bubble? I will be able to hold out 5 seconds more if you do. Who knows? They might come in handy.
All right. Attention, everyone. As soon as we're back to the normal world, we hit the boss immediately. Use all you've got, all abilities. We have to get him down to 20% in the next 4 minutes.
We managed it in 5 minutes 40, after losing Brast, Crisp, from the heirs of the Titans, and, most unfortunately, Leander, who was taken down by the Phantoms. Azure Dragons had a top-class healer. It was a surprise he wasn't in Phoenix. I was of little use in the battle with the boss. The level difference was just too huge, after all. So I used the time to take stock of the damage being dealt by the players. It was just as well that the special raid leader features allowed you to do that. What can I say? It was too bad I sent Do Not Panic for respawn first. The deputy head of Azure Dragons held a solid second place in damage after Plinto. What my rogue was doing could only be described as a miracle. He was responsible for almost 40% of all the damage done to the boss.
I grow tired of playing around. Time to die.
The last phase,
shouted Anastaria, for anyone still wondering.
Stay focused on bringing down the boss.
Bubble on Plinto,
Anson the Pantsa suddenly shouted.
There'll be a...
Boom!
A giant staff appeared in the lieutenant's hands, which he lowered right on top of the rogue.
He's switching to the rest of the raid now.
Hellfire spoke up for the first time during the battle.
I'm no longer controlling him.
Now we really are done,
Stacy said in a somewhat tired voice, her hands dropping.
We'll never get through that last 20%, especially if you keep in mind that he has to make only 30 blows now. Damn. And I'd started to believe that we could nail this on our first attempt.
Boom.
Surrounded by the dome, Plinto was hammered about chest deep into the ground. The bubble lasted 10 seconds, 5 of which were already gone. Another 2 or 3 hits, and we'd lose Plinto, and it would be the turn of Exodus, Killer, and so on, according to the amount of damage they were dealing. I had some cause to celebrate. I would be the one before last to be sent for respawn, right before Eric.
Boom!
Maybe we can freeze him? I said the first thing that came into my head. You had to keep trying, instead of simply waiting your turn to be eliminated.
It's not working, Eckler said straight away. We tried throwing freeze and ice trap on him. Nothing works. Seems to be some sort of a non-standard boss.
Non-standard? Stop! There's something in this. A non-standard boss who likes non-standard honey. What nonsense! Although...
Stop hitting the boss! At all!
I screamed across the entire clearing.
Hellfire, even you! Stop doing anything! No damage to the boss!
In 5 seconds, the raid will start randomly sustaining massive damage. It was Anastaria's turn to respond.
Stacy, please, this is important. Remember, when the fight began, what was the number of the boss's hit points? Was anyone recording the fight? I need the boss's exact level of health.
99.9%,
said Plinto, whose head was the only part of him sticking out of the ground after another strike from the staff. The next hit would be the last for the rogue, so I had to enact my plan fast.
Stacy, select the boss and hit him with a healing. Everyone, stop hitting the boss already. If anyone else hits him, you'll be excluded from the loot share.
Leading by example, I selected the Frankenstein and sent a water healing spirit to him. Let it work, pretty please. The very fact that an aggressive boss could be healed made my mind boggle, but I'd completely turned off my brain and had decided to rely on my intuition alone. Am I a shaman or what? Speaking of which, I should find time to reshuffle my abilities, because although I was already great in rank, I was still only using ordinary spirits. That needed fixing.
Boo!
The staff froze right above Plinto's head as my healing entity entered the lieutenant. Did it work? Looks like it did, but there was no stopping now.
Stacy, healers, get going! Everyone with any healing ability, use it!
You're nuts for sure, said the girl,
but started healing all the same from what I could see. Good. The boss soon had 25% hit points. 30, 50.
Resurrections unlocked,
Illinium shared the happy news. Get Leander up, came my immediate order.
Healers, keep getting the boss's health up until you reach 90%.
And then?
Anastaria immediately asked.
Then everyone attacks the boss and brings him back down to 70, after which the healers again bring him up to 90. Then rinse and repeat until the entire raid is brought back to life. There are only 2 priests for 34 corpses, so in total we need... Damn, I need a minute to count.
85 minutes, the girl immediately volunteered. All right, we get the raid up. Then what?
Then nothing, I smiled.
The boss is unkillable. He is physically unkillable, no matter how much damage we deal to him. This is a wrong type of forest, which has a wrong type of boss, who doesn't have to be killed, but has to be healed.
Anastaria understood my idea.
And what if it doesn't work?
Then our 63-player crowd, except for Leidy and Klutzer, since they'll go down from the blast, will once again lay in to the boss. Will down him by brute force. Although something tells me that there's a reason for that question mark in the boss's properties. He'll be the one bringing us down.
While now, can you see how long we've been trying to heal him? 5 minutes? And he still hasn't used a single ability. We're on the right path, guys.
It turned out that this boss was perfect for leveling up your skills. Unlike the battle spirits, the healing ones popped out without any level restrictions. So when the raid was fully back on its feet, the level of my intellect increased by an entire 7 points.
Freedom! It is so close!
Uttered the boss when the level of his hit points reached 100%.
But they are stronger than I. My lord ordered you to be destroyed. I cannot disobey his order. Die!
Right, said Anastaria slowly. He's gone down to 99.9% again. Seems like we've missed something. Man? Ants!
It seemed like I was just full of original ideas today.
I urgently need to get to the astral plane.
The lesser penalty not enough for you?
Asked the girl, surprised.
If you go there now, the spirits will stop listening to you completely for a week.
Ants, Take me to the astral plane, quick! I barked at the girl. We'll have time to be sorry for this later. No one lets the boss drop below 95% hit points, I heard Anastaria's orders. Healers, recharge their mana as soon as the boss reaches 95. We want to get him up to 100. Close your eyes. Ants in the Pantsa sat me on the ground next to her. What are we going to do there?
You'll see in a minute. I had time to wink at the girl, though I realized she was unlikely to see it at this point. After closing her eyes, Ants in the Pantsa started to sway from side to side, as if entering a trance. Is this how she always enters the astral plane? Cool.
You can open them now. We're here.
Whoa! That's nuts!
Exhaled the girl. I opened my eyes and saw pretty much what I expected. There was a cluster of white light in places wreathed in red, gray, and even green tones, and surrounded by the same phantoms who were making life difficult for the elementals.
Draco, can you come?
10 minutes, no more.
That would be enough.
Them again?
Exclaimed my totem after he saw the astral image of the lieutenant.
Mayan, they can't be changed, whispered Ants in the Pantsa. I tried, but nothing happened.
We don't need to change anything, Natalie. I smiled once again. What I'm most curious about is why this boss was made impossible to complete without shamans. You know, I think I finally understand what continent-wide scenario Elenium got from the High Priestess.
You know, you're really beginning to lose me.
The girl looked at me, perplexed.
What are you on about?
Doesn't matter now. It's just, we're on the verge of a very big update in Barleona, and a big part of it is a new dark power, the Lord of Shadow, Guernica.
I know this. How can it help us now?
Tell me, what will happen if I start a duel with my totem here?
I have no idea, but the Supreme Spirits aren't going to like it. They'll probably expel you, and me too.
How will this expulsion take place?
How on earth should I know? What are you thinking?
Natalie, think. This is very important.
They'll turn you into a shining or completely dark sphere, depending on which of the spirits will be doing it, impose a penalty, and kick you out of the astral plane.
Is there a way to make sure that it's the light supreme one that does it?
There isn't. It's a 50-50 chance.
All right, thanks. And if I turn into a dark one, I'll repeat my actions, all right?
What's on your mind?
Later. No time now. Stacy, get the boss up to 100% and keep him there for about half a minute.
Roger that.
Draco, let's train for a bit. Attack me.
How dare you defile our world?
Just seconds later, the terrifying voice of a supreme spirit sounded.
You will be punished! A month without access to the astral plane. 2 weeks without spirits. A week without your totem. Now, be gone!
I got lucky. It was the supreme spirit of the higher world, the one that formed a shining sphere.
Freedom!
Came the voice of the lieutenant as soon as I was thrown out of the astral plane. Although, the lieutenant was no more. We were facing a sentient that was maimed in some incomprehensible fashion.
Thank you, heroes, for giving me a chance to leave this world alive. Thank you. Rhea, I'm coming.
With these words, the boss hit the ground and broke into all his constituent parts, which were almost immediately absorbed into the ground. All that was left for us was a small pile of loot, that for which we'd come here in the first place. Level gained, 8 times. Loot allocation has been completed. List. Please confirm. After looking through the 15 level 260 items left after the disappearance of the lieutenant and finding nothing useful either for myself or for any of my clan members, including the high-level players, I decided not to use my right of veto on the loot and agreed with the allocation proposed by the imitator. It did know best, after all, who should be getting what. For example, Anson the Panzer, who had gained 3 levels in one go, got 2 items, which left her overjoyed. You don't need all that much to make some people happy, it seems. That's it. Enough fighting for today. I don't know about the rest of them, but I had lost any desire to go on with our journey right this minute. Those who want can get back to reality. We'll continue tomorrow. We still have the General and Midial himself ahead of us. So we'll have our work cut out for us. I pulled out the tent so that others had a chance to set it up, lay down in the mist, and immediately dropped into sleep. Now I finally knew the nature of the phantoms commanded by Garenika. Chapter 10 Unauthorized Actions. Heroes of Malabar, the Empire is facing a calamity. Garenika's cursed dagger has been plunged deep into the heart of the throne. If it is not destroyed within 4 months, the Emperor will perish. The dagger can be destroyed with the help of a holy item that was lost in the Freelands near Rastrum. The group, not larger than 20 people, that brings the required object is guaranteed to receive an exceptional reward and the personal regard of the Emperor. Be vigilant. Starting from today, the holy item may be stolen. There is a 100% probability that it will drop from the inventory during respawn while the Saviors of the Throne symbol will appear above the group. Safe zones will no longer function for players with such a symbol. Reward: Exalted Reputation with the Emperor, plus 15 levels, plus 50,000 gold coins, a scaling item from the Emperor's stores. Penalty for failing the quest, none. Quest type, scenario. Level restrictions, none. Time limit for completing the quest, 120 days from the moment of this announcement. How time flies. It seemed like we were killing the lieutenant just a couple of hours ago, although, in fact, so much time had already gone by. The general stubbornly refused to appear, and there was still plenty of ground to cover before we could reach the designated spot. I waved away the message that the Emperor's quest had been renewed and continued to focus on ring crafting. Time was running out, and my jewel craft had barely passed level 82. Thankfully, I had stocked up on the materials I needed beforehand. The copper ore that had come in the mail came in really handy, and it was just as well it arrived before we destroyed the lieutenant. After his death, our raid was subjected to such severe restrictions that even Anastaria was scratching her head in confusion and periodically hopping out to reality to check things with the corporation. Nothing like this had ever happened in all her gaming experience. The dark forest was blocked. "Stacy, I have a question," I started pestering the girl as soon as I awoke the morning after the battle with the lieutenant. "What logic did you follow when gathering the raid?"
"You spotted the mistake too, eh?
Yes. I have to admit that we were altogether too hasty when deciding who should be gaining extra levels. Phoenix's two main priests, a husband and wife, are on holiday now, so thinking that a location aimed at level 100